moment. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord on this day. This is the Christmas Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. We're going to have a lovely Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve coming up this week, and hope that you can come and bring your neighbors and your friends, and let's pack the church for Christmas Eve. That would be a real lovely thing to do. And I want to talk with you a bit during the announcements about this that I have here. Does anybody know what this is? What's that, Thomas? Yeah, but what's it called? Manna bag. Right. You know, remember how God provided manna in the wilderness? We're going to ask you all to help us fill these up, and there's going to be blank ones, empty ones back in there with a list of what to put in them, and take it home with you and bring it back to church when it's full so we can help our homeless that come to the church. And you might even want to keep one in your car to help somebody that you see on the street. It's called a manna bag, like Jesus, God provided manna in the wilderness to the wandering people of the Hebrews, and that's what we want to do for people in need, is provide for them. Let's begin our service of worship with greeting one another with the peace of Christ. And also with you, Betty. Lenny Clark, first service this morning. Yeah, did you tell him he had to come? Tell us how things go. Yeah, good. Oops, is this your bulletin?
Yep.
Okay.
Seven. That's the last song of Sirius. Seven in the rhythm.
Okay.
Yep, your turn.
Well, good morning again, everyone. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My name is Ron Coleman. I am a lay servant here at Calvary and pleased to be in the service of and to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this morning we have a couple of announcements, and if any of you have announcements, I'll get to that as well, to those as well. First of all, however, we'd like to welcome all of our guests, and if this is your first time at Calvary, of course, we have some gifts for you if you would stop by the back on your way out and see one of the ushers. And I'd like to remind everyone to fill out or to drop your salty service cards in the pew plate if you have been of service to someone or an organization this week. Please let us know by dropping those cards in the offering plate. And I know that some weeks, many of us could probably drop a half a dozen of these in the offering plate. Mm-hmm. But you can do them individually or collectively. Also, prayer requests. If you have any prayer requests, please fill out this form and drop it in the collective prayer requests. Is praise reports. If you have something very special that you're thankful for, thankful about, please let us know. We'd like to celebrate that with you. Also, if you're a first-time guest, if you wouldn't mind, we'd ask you to fill out the welcome card so that we can get some information for you and properly welcome you to Calvary. So, from Betty Kuhn. You want to say it? Come on.
I don't know if I can tell you this without crying.
You can do it.
We had a $200 for the children's home, a $200 donation from the Friendship Club, a $200 donation from the Birthday Club, and we had a total to give the children's home $1,000.
Wow.
Amen. Woohoo! Wow. What a praise. What a praise. Thank you, Betty. Yes, and that's all due to the generosity of folks here at Calvary. That's all due to, especially due to God's ability, God's blessing, yeah, us, and our willingness and ability to share that blessing with others. So thank you,
Betty,
for doing that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see, manna bags. We do have manna bags.
And yes.
Pastor's going to talk about that.
Well, like I said, as the service started, we want you to pick up an empty one of these as you leave today that has a list in it of what you can put in here, and then bring it back when it's full. There's a couple items that we need to put in there, like the upper rooms and things like that. So, but you will supply the tissues, the deodorant, the washcloth, the shampoo. There's a long list of things, and we want you to fill these up and bring these back so that when we have people who come to our church, because we don't give cash to people. We sometimes assist people with paying a bill or something like that, but we don't give cash to people, but we can certainly give them this, and it would be great to have these on hand. This is a new emphasis in our district for homelessness in this northeast district. So please take one of these from one of the ushers before you leave today.
Thank you, Pastor Esther. On Christmas Eve, you're invited to attend the worship service here at Calvary beginning at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Thursday, Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. So please come and join us if you're able to do so. On Friday, Larry and others brought lots of food to give away. Among that is bread, which there is some left over in the hallway. If, in fact, you'd like to have some of that bread, please feel free to grab it on your way out. Or if you know others who might need bread like that, be sure to grab some and take it to them as well, someone who might need it. Oh, guess what? Calvary cookbooks are here. And these cookbooks are titled, A Taste of Heaven. Can you imagine that? Here on earth, a taste of heaven. So, I want you to pick up one of these books, and they're available right now. They only cost $8. And if you, needless to say, there are some absolutely delicious recipes in those books. And Sally Cook or Peggy Clark will have them available in the kitchen immediately after the service. Got it?
Got it.
Get it.
Yay.
All right. And so there are some few announcements on the back of your bulletin as well, our normal weekly bulletins, announcements. And inside of your bulletin, you can see the Poinsettia recognitions. And unless there are others, yes, Nancy. Gotta have it.
At 10:30, we invite everyone, and if you would, bring us some tender foods or snacks, and we'll just throw it all in together. We'll provide the drinks. And then at 11:30, we'll have our candy wine.
Wonderful. Thank you. Rhonda?
I haven't been able to speak to Alan in over a week due to the Okinawa, so it's not been very good. Finally got back to NASFCD yesterday.
No. Amen.
Just thank you for all the support that you guys have given me. Once again, thank you all for that.
So from Alan Barlow to all of us, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Tell him thank you. Yes, and wish him a Merry Christmas as well.
I have one. Barbara's not going to say anything, but I have to say, as a mom and a grandma, the children's program yesterday was wonderful. Barbara wasn't feeling well, but she did a great job. There were a lot of behind-the-scenes helpers, and just thank you guys for that. It was wonderful. So.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yes. Yay, well Barbara.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So are there other announcements? If not, we'll ask the Zhang family, mom and children and grandchildren as well, to come up and do our Advent wreath lighting.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the loneliness of his servant. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the powerful from their throne and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. These familiar words were spoken in Mary upon greeting Elizabeth. Imagine the joy of this meeting when they can discuss their own and each other's pregnancy together for the first time. And what did they talk about first? A boy? A girl? Baby clothes? New furniture? No. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. I declare the greatness of God, and my spirit rejoices." Mary, a young woman, a teenager, not so long before, pregnant and unmarried, declares the greatness of God and recognizes the unique calling he has received. As with so many other mothers before and after her, she does not know what joys or sorrows may follow the birth, but she is ready to rejoice in God, her Savior. It is for Mary that we light the fourth candle. Mary, blessed among women. Mary, the Lord's lowest servant. Mary, who believed that God was about to fulfill the promises made to Abraham so long ago.
And everyone says,
"Come, Lord Jesus. Amen."
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Zhang family. You can lay it right here. Thank you. And now, if you would, as you are able, please stand and join together in singing hymn number 234. And we will sing verses 1, 3, and verse 6, located at the top of the next page. Please join in.
Amen.
verse 6. Sing it out, church. Turn in your hymnals to the back of your hymnals to page 883. We'll all join in the affirmation of faith. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life beyond death.
God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning. It's a little chilly outside, isn't it? Yeah. I want to talk with you about something that we do in church every single week, and that's sing. Have you ever thought about why we sing? Why do you think we sing? To praise God. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, come right up here. There you go. We're talking about singing. We praise God when we sing. And guess what? They used to do it in the Bible times as well. They did it long, long time ago. And we heard as the Zangs just lit those four candles, we heard one of the songs, part of one of the songs, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang after she found out she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. And she sang this wonderful song to thank God for choosing her and to praise God's name. So you're exactly right. We sing to praise God. And we don't have to just do it on Sunday. We can do it other days of the week too. Singing is a very important thing that we do. And, you know, there's a saying that if you sing, you're praying twice. Because singing is also a prayer that we make. It's a prayer to God that we make. And so we're thinking about singing today. And I have been told in the past by some of my teachers that you can tell the health of a church by its Sunday school, or you can tell the health of a church by its outreach programs. But I think you can tell the health of a church by its singing and praising. And that's what we want to do every single week. We sing to God and praise God. And I hope you will continue to do that, especially during Christmas time. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We do sing out to you, O Lord, today, to thank you for your goodness and for your gift of Jesus, who came to us as a mere child, a mere babe, but who grew up to be our teacher and our shepherd and our redeemer and savior. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to bless these children and their families, that they may grow in your grace and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. I invite the ushers to come forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We are grateful, O God, for all the goodness that you show us every single day. We are grateful for our lives, for the gifts that we receive in family and friends and loved ones, and for your church. We praise your name and ask that you will continue to use us and use these gifts for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Seated. Thank you. thank you, and thanks to Ron for stepping in and leading both the liturgy and the choir direction as well. Thank you. I want us to prepare ourselves for prayer. And I don't know if you do this in your own prayer time at home or not, but I hope it helps you to get yourselves in the frame of mind and body and spirit to open yourselves up to God speaking to you. And so I like to begin with some quiet, and you may close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths to let out the tension in your body. And just listen. Block out everything else but God's voice. And if you feel led to pray out loud that we too may know what your needs are, by lifting up the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in your life that needs God's healing touch today. Lord, we can't quite imagine what it must have been like for Mary to hear God's request and to respond unconditionally with yes. Because we have a tendency to put conditions on things. We want to know what we have to do, how long it will take, what's in it for us. And what are the outcomes? Forgive us, O God, for our faithlessness. And slow us down enough that it causes us to take time to really consider the wonderful ways you have already worked in our lives. And as we have come before you with concerns on our hearts for our families and friends, in the world, remind us that your presence is with us and your healing love comforts and restores us. Open our hearts and our ears to the cries of those in need, and let us use our talents and resources to help others. And give us courage, energy, and enthusiasm as we work for you in this world. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hymn, if you would join in together, 246 will be Joy to the World. It's listed in your bulletins as O Little Town of Bethlehem. The number, however, is correct. So stand and join together as we sing Joy to the World. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the New Testament, the book of Luke, first chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 39 through verse 45. Luke 1, 35 through 39, rather, through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. One of my Baptist pastor colleagues in ministry likes to tell a story about his childhood. He was about 4 years old, and he was supposed to sing at the Slate Mountain Baptist Church Christmas program. He writes, "My mother was the director, and some of us were too young to be in the play, and she wanted every child to do something. So she had all the little kids pick out a Christmas song as sort of a prelude to the rest of the program. Well, he writes, I picked out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And over many objections, I practiced it day and night around the house. I also faithfully went to church for play practice and sang it to the empty pews. The night of the play came, and I walked out to sing, and I looked at 100 or so faces staring back at me, and I sang, Rudolph the Red-Nosed, and then I stopped. And I started over again, Rudolph the Red-Nosed, and then I quit again. Finally, I ran off the stage, screaming, Mama! And I fell into my mother's arms. And I have seldom sung in public since. I can identify with that. I don't like to sing where other people can hear me. In our gospel lesson that Ron shared with us and that Autumn so graciously read for us in the lighting of the Advent wreath, Mary finds her voice and sings a song for the ages. And tied up with her story is another story about a man who first loses and then later finds his voice. Elizabeth, as you probably remember, is the mother of John the Baptist and the wife of Zechariah, the priest, a priest of the temple. And their story is also told in the first chapter of Luke. It is a story that Luke weaves in and out of the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And I think it's important to hear both of these stories together. Well, like Abraham and Sarah before them, Zechariah and Elizabeth were on up in years and childless. There was no child. Zechariah went to work at the temple one day, and while he was alone in the inner sanctuary, burning incense while people prayed, an angel appeared at the right side of the altar, scaring poor Zechariah half to death. And the angel said, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your wife will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. The angel then proceeded to tell Zechariah what wonderful things his son would do. Now, Zechariah had some doubts, which personally I find understandable and somewhat amusing. On the one hand, he is old, and his wife is old, and though it is just in the first century, these people do understand basic reproductive biology. And so he has a legitimate objection. How in the world is his wife going to become pregnant when she is past those childbearing years? Well, he was arguing with an angel, and that's not a reasonable thing to do. I think we're already outside of the bounds of what is reasonable, and we are into the realm of what is mysterious and miraculous. Well, the angel was not very amused with his objection and got very stern with Zechariah. He said, I am the angel Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent out to speak to you and tell you the good news. Because you do not believe what I have said, you shall live in silence, and you shall be unable to speak a word until the day it happens. And so that's how Zechariah lost his voice. So, you know, that's a clue to you all, a clue to the wise, never to argue with an angel. He was unable to tell anyone, even his wife, what had happened to him at the altar that day. After his time of service at the temple had ended, he went home to his wife, and she did become pregnant. But he could not say anything to her about it and about what the angel had told him. He was unable to speak. Now, the story shifts to a time 6 months later when the same angel Gabriel visits a young peasant girl named Mary. And he tells her equally unbelievable news that she will bear a child. And Mary may be young, but she too knows her basic biology. She's stunned. "How can this be?" she says. "I don't understand." And the angel reassures her that it is true and offers proof that her elderly cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant, even though she's beyond her childbearing years. And then comes the part of the gospel story contained in our reading this morning. As soon as Gabriel left her, Mary went with haste to visit with Elizabeth. In one of the really charming incidents in the Bible, Luke shows John the Baptist, the infant, inside the womb of Elizabeth, leaping in the womb when Mary arrives, presumably excited over the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. Immediately after this encounter, Luke shows Mary bursting into song with the words that have come to be known as the Magnificat. Beautiful words, and that's what Autumn read for us a few moments ago. It's a poem rich with images from Hebrew scripture about God rescuing the poor, the lonely, the downtrodden from their distress. And after Mary's song is sung, the text turns back to the story of John's birth. When the baby was born, when John was born, the kinfolk wanted him to be named Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." And they protested, "But no one in the family is named John." So they stopped arguing with Elizabeth and turned to Zechariah. And he took up his tablet, he's still not able to talk, and he wrote, "His name is John." And when he made that confession of faith in the promise of God, his tongue was loosed, he found his voice, and he burst into song. And we call it the Song of Zechariah, a song of prophecy and joy. It's not by accident, like I was trying to express to the children earlier, that Christmas is a time filled with music and singing. When our hearts are full of hope, our mouths are naturally full of joyous praise. When we fully embrace God's promise to be with us in the world, when we give ourselves over completely to the miracle of God's intrusive love in the world, then we find ourselves with a story to tell and a song to sing. Well, the Word of God comes to us again this year, as it does every year. And God makes promises to come into the world through us, to bless the world through us, to save the world also through us. So we can make excuses. We can be like Zechariah was at first, saying, "We're too old." Or, "We've already tried that. We know it won't work." We can stutter and stumble and run off the stage of life, unable to sing. Or we can say, along with Mary, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And when we do, we will, like Mary and Zechariah, burst forth with words of hope, joy, and prophecy. We will commit ourselves anew to lives of servanthood and love. So one of my dearest wishes for you this holiday season, this Christmas, is that you will burst forth in song of pure joy from God, your Savior. Amen and amen.
Esther, for a wonderful sermon.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And now, if you would direct your attention to the screen behind us here, we'll all join together. Stand as you're able and singing number 7 for you guys. Let's join together. Time, say that. Say that. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. One more time. Sing it like you mean it. Give thanks. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Well, I hope you will have a song in your heart and in your life as you leave this sanctuary, and that the rest of the season is joyful for you. I hope I get to see you on Christmas Eve, but if I don't, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. We won't forget that. Go in the grace and knowledge of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, the Father, and the Holy Spirit now rest now and abide with you always. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone.